morning. Today is Friday, February. What am I thinking about? Friday. It feels like it should be February, but it's Friday, August 24th. Last Friday of the county fair. Holy cow, how did that... livestock auction reference. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be moving right along. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods, Bob Brown. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. And you brought along a couple of buddies with you, huh?
I did. I brought along our head football coach, Frank Borba, and our head women's volleyball coach, Petra Lorenzi.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how come?
Well, because we're right to getting off to our first week of school, and they're getting ready for their opening matches and football games of season, and we got a lot of exciting things that are going on out at the college, so... we're all ready
you
for our fall sports
you
preview.
You didn't, like, straight-arm Marty on the way out or Keith?
Oh, absolutely not. No,
okay, good.
Team spirit. I said, hey, listen, whatever you're paying them to be here, you're paying them double. So work out just fine.
Boy, is that going to be a disappointment at the end of the show. All right, why do they say that today? Ball. How did a dancing party come to be called a ball? Any ideas? This is the toughest part of the show, by the way, guys.
Because it couldn't be a strike. I don't know. But that
all right. There's a Latin word, ballare, which means to dance. But our ball had its origin in the Fest of Fools at Easter. As part of this celebration, choir boys danced around the dean in the church. He threw a ball at them, and they sang as they caught it. At early American dances, too, a ball was thrown as the dancers danced around in couples. Though they stopped throwing the ball, they kept the name ball for the dance itself. Hmm. A little something to stun the kids in the huddle.
Right.
There this you afternoon go. During practice, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, talk about funny looks, huh? Bob, what's the biggest thing that people don't know right now about sports at CR?
I think the number one thing right now is the transition that we're actually going through. You know, I think most of the community is very familiar with our sports. We've been around for a long time, but the transition that we're going through with our facilities is something that's very exciting.
Perhaps upgrade might be a good...
Yeah, an upgrade
might
be...
There we go.
Facelift.
Yeah. Well, you know, facelift and transition have different definitions these days.
That's true.
Upgrade, I think everybody gets behind.
Upgrade,
yeah.
Yes. Necessary improvements. Those kinds of things. So we recently just have completed the initial part of our stadium demo. They're just doing the cleanup now. We just finished our track resurfacing. So that's all new and fresh. And our track coach was out there just a couple of days ago, and he's very excited about what the future can bring.
No mold or dampness over one end of the...
No more mold. Okay. Looking to be able to host some... local meets, things like that, that we now can start to do, which is something we haven't been able to do for several years.
I'm thinking like in the 70s, that's where, sorry, that's what my reference is for high school guys. That's where the county track meet was. The HDN was always,
there you go.
Always out there. Of
there
course,
you
the,
go.
The stadium was new and fresh and all that kind of stuff too.
Exactly.
So in the demo portion of it, it's now being hauled away on top of the old track?
It's not being hauled away on top of the old track. It's being pulled out from behind. They were smart enough to figure that part out. So we
a college education,
that's
baby.
That's right. They've got it too. So yes, no, it's worked out that they're able to work around and get everything cleared out, and then eventually that's where the new field house and stadium will be located. So we are we're a couple of years away from that project being built in, but we have to obviously clear the space for that to happen. And we're excited that that's going to take place.
So during the transition period, the field house.
There's that
much
word again, transition.
Yeah. Okay, good. You are listening. During the time when the changes are happening, the field house really has been more of a practice facility historically and intramural. Is that going to be knocked down also?
It is.
Or expanded or filled in with classrooms? Or what is the final look like?
It is. Not only is the field house going down, the entire physical education complex will be moving. And going down.
You mean the pool will finally be gone and you won't have those questions anymore?
The pool is actually our weight room. So the questions now show
what?
Up.
What? Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
It's been filled in?
It's been filled in. Not the large pool, but the small pool that used to be the pool that we utilized for our adaptive courses and other things. That area got filled in and we just sectioned off around the large pool. And we converted that space into our weight room.
So the great tile work that was put in there is now great flooring?
It's great flooring, yes. And in part, it happened because the flooring, you speak of flooring, in the old weight room had become structurally unsound and wasn't able to measure the capacity of the weight.
Put some of that stuff on the second floor sometimes doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Exactly. So we've been able to...
So this AD has got smarts and intelligence where the most recent past one doesn't?
Oh, no, that's not true, especially when the past one is still my boss. So we're gonna be very careful. No, he basically is the one that set it all up and made it easy for me and threw out the easy pitch softball that I'm trying to now execute.
Little kiss-kiss, huh?
Yeah. Never know who's listening.
That's right. Today or in the future.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely, yes.
So the stadium will be back up in a couple of years. The basketball courts,
So everything's being replaced. We will get a whole new building. The location of the new building will actually be on the baseball field, the current baseball field. That space and area has been cleared seismically. What is not cleared is the actual building that we're in. So that's why we're having a drop and replace project where the state's going to come in and move things around. We actually have Creative Arts coming over as well. Creative Arts is going to be a building that's now located in the baseball softball area as well.
Okay, things are swirling. We'll find out if the police academy gets to stay where it is.
we will find out, actually.
Because oh, really? That's
they're actually here. Doing drilling for that, too, right now.
Oh, fine. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bob Brown. Did we finish up? I think we did.
Well, we actually have one more thing that's transpired over the course of the summer, and we have completely resurfaced the tennis courts.
And they're not being moved.
And they're not being moved. Now, we did put our beach volleyball, initial beach volleyball court in the area of one, and we'd like to, yes, that's our 13th sport. Yes. That Petra also coaches that as well. And
beach volleyball is now a
North Coast
sport with community colleges.
CCCAA, yes, it came on board. Petra, do you know it was about five, six years ago.
It's actually coming into junior colleges nationwide over the next 2 years. So it's blowing up.
Okay, this isn't your version of why do we say that? This is legit. Really? Outdoors?
Outdoors, yep, in the sand.
Well, okay, I forgot the sand was sand. I got that one.
They're building them inland, on the coast. In California, we have the beach teams actually that live on the beach,
so they can actually
play at the beach itself. But most I've built courts on their campuses.
I'm just thinking of weeds growing up and the maintenance issues.
Oh, it's every day. They grow really fast in sand.
And cats,
yeah, you're right.
You know, or dog walkers that think, you know, et cetera.
We tarp the courts to keep them covered.
And the corpse, too.
The corpse, yes, the corpse. Exactly. Make sure we keep those. Exactly. Keep them under the sand.
So, Petra, with all the moving around that Bob was referring to, where are you going to be playing?
Well, hopefully eventually in the new gym that fills up. The beach volleyball courts, we're at the tennis courts right now. We have one court. We do need three in order to host, so hopefully over the next... 5 years or building process, we'll work a way to get two more courts built down there. There is some space down there that we could do it in, and that's kind of our goal, so that we can actually host some events and people can come check out some beach volleyball. Tournaments, games. We do two-game matchups, so you play two teams a day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a round robin.
Basically, yeah.
Now, are the high schools going to start also? So I would think you'd want to have a feeder into this, because it's got to be, at least significantly different conditioning-wise, let alone the sport itself. Yeah, because it's two.
Yes,
two
doubles.
Individuals.
Yeah, okay. Definitely a different sport. It transitions okay, but yeah, you have to learn how to run and jump in sand. I think it's going to be harder for high schools to do because of facility purposes. But there's a lot of club programs that have started around the state. Even in areas that don't have it competitively in college, they've started to do a lot of club programs that the kids are filtering into the colleges.
A spring sport and a fall sport?
Spring sport.
Both of them?
No, just spring.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
so
then
indoor
the traditional.
In the fall. Yeah, so a lot of kids are playing both. They play their indoor in the fall, and they use spring for beach. Some use it as training for indoor. Some are primarily beach and use indoor as.
Probably depends on what part of the state you're in. The further down towards where the Olympians are, the more impressive it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, we're not going to have indoor track also, in addition to outdoor track.
Not yet, no. We're not going there. Okay. But with the new field house, there are talks. We haven't seen initial designs and drawings, but to certainly try to expand on some of the square footage of that area. Because with the drop-in replace, we get square foot per square foot. But we could kind of move that stuff around a little bit. So within the new field house, certainly of how it's going to fit over at the football stadium, it'll be more of a multi-purpose field house, not necessarily an indoor track, but certainly more than just sort of the gym floor and that was in the old field house. So there'll be lockers over there, and we could potentially even look at utilizing at least a part of a weight room over there, those kinds of things. So
we're going to lose the old showers with a goofy little step up that you could trip and face plant with?
You are going to lose those, yes.
No. Not that I know anything
Not that
about
you know
that.
Anything
no,
about
no.
Face planting.
No, or tripping trying
or
to get into the showers.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be gone, thankfully, yes.
That would be summer league many years ago. Frank, what's the most exciting thing about the football team this year?
Just the caliber of kid that we got on campus. Did a lot better locally recruiting. That's been a big battle since I've been up here. Happy with the kids we got. Just a bunch of hardworking kids, good kids, great citizens, kids that we're going to be happy to have on campus. And so for that part of it, I can't wait to see what they do.
Character versus talent.
I wouldn't say that. We have a lot of talented individuals, but it's the talented kids that actually have their ducks in a row, and they want to actually be here, and I believe that they're true student-athletes, and that's important.
You're not saying that you're a feeder now for Oregon, are you?
No, but
that
that
duck reference.
Right, I got
okay,
you.
Okay, I just checking in.
That was good. I liked it. No, but I just like I said, bunch of great kids, and we're ready to get out on the field and see what we can do.
Who's the conference this year?
It's switched up a little bit. There's been some movement. We have what we call the National and American Division. The National Division is kind of the higher level junior college football teams. The American is kind of the second tier. It's all based off wins and losses. And
like DVC and Butte and some of the monsters?
Yep, and San Francisco City and you know, the traditional monsters.
San Francisco City is in the conference?
They're not in our conference.
No. Oh, good.
No, our conference, it's a four-year cycle. So they do a four-year win-loss record analysis, and then teams can petition to either move up or move down. This year, Shasta College was moved up, and West Hills College, down came Contra Costa College and De Anza College. So the
got 30 seconds.
All right. Yeah, so the conference.
I'll panic for you. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah. So the conference, excuse me, the conference is Los Medanos, Yuba College,
Contra Costa,
De Anza, Foothill College. That's the five. We're the Pacific Seven, but with losing a team, we're actually the Pacific Six. We just didn't want to change the name.
Well, you know, all the letterhead.
Right.
It's 8:30.
What could
we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bob Brown, Frank Borba, and Petra Lorenzi. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Egg Credit, and Lolita Cheese. What is the biggest issue right now facing college sports? Do you guys have any read on that, or what do parents or the kids themselves, what are they asking? Are there any trends or anything that's in common that you're anticipating having those questions about?
I think the maybe one of the challenges, and this is going to make me sound old school and old on when I say this, but
hey, you got the hairdo, man.
I know I do. Yeah, the picture's going to show later on.
Consider it that it's an earned privilege.
Yes, it's been an earned privilege with the time, but I do think one of the challenges, just how connected we are to social media, how connected we are to technology, how connected kids are even to their phones and those kinds of things. It's like they, in many ways, that they don't really feel like they can exist in within certain parameters socially without it. And one of the things that sports, I think, did for me, and I know it was a very important part of it, was the human connection that was actually made with people and the relationships that were developed and the camaraderie and the teamwork and all of those kinds of things with kids. In these days, at least in my viewpoint, it's a little bit more challenge for them to kind of work into that mode. And you know, for coaches,
really, like, they have to learn how to be a teammate.
I don't know if they need to learn how to be a teammate, but they need to learn how to be consistent, and they need to learn how to be committed and not be easily distracted when they are being committed to working in a team and working with their teammates and also towards their education.
How about from coach's perspective? You guys echo?
Absolutely, actually. Especially the sport of volleyball, we're really, really big.
She almost said that apologetically, looking at her going, I may not be as old as, but.
Nowhere near as.
Just kind of reading that line there.
Yeah, a little gap there. But we have so much communication in volleyball, and the kids just don't do as much communication outside of the sport with each other interacting. So we actually have to spend a lot of our practice time teaching them how to communicate with each other. It's been progressively happening more and more over the last 5 years.
So they don't hang out together afterwards or grab lunch together?
They hang out and text, or they message through social media a lot more than they actually do talking.
As teammates?
Yeah, they'll sit in the car as teammates, and this is all levels, high school, mm-hmm. college, and they'll actually end up traveling in a van, and they'll be texting in the van, not actually talking in the van, which we do great stuff, like holding their cell phones for a while, or they put them in a bag together so that way they have to talk to each other, and it's just stuff that has to be taught now that you didn't really have to teach before.
You have to run your line sets in under a certain time to get it back?
Not a bad idea.
Oh, okay. Let's just say you got that one on your own. I don't need to have a bunch chasing me. How about on the football team? Are you same?
Yeah, I would echo the same sentiments. What we do, just kind of knowing that these kids' attention span isn't quite what you'd like it to be, even though you're talking about football, is in practice, in meetings, we keep everything no longer than 10 minutes. So we'll go to a different period or a different emphasis after every 10 minutes, just to kind of keep their attention and make sure that they're engaged the way we want them to be as coaches. You know, gone are the days of 3-hour practices and 2-hour meetings, because we just don't have their attention span. If it's anything more than 10 minutes, we're going to lose them. I think sports specifically, the biggest issue with us is obviously the concussion stuff. CTE, all the things that are coming out. you know, that's really changing the rules of the game. It's changing, as coaches, how we have to practice. You know, same thing. We don't hit each other every day. We can't do it. It's just not conducive to the kids' health. It's not conducive to having a football team anymore. You know, you can't just...
Is it needed? Perfect world. No, nobody gets hurt. Nobody twists any ankles or anything like that. Would you have contact every day, or is mental at that level as it is some of the physical?
Right. I think I came up in the era that was that transition period where in high school we hit every day and that's what we did, and there was no questioning it, and that's just what it was. When I was finishing up college ball, that was when we were starting to transition out of, okay, we'll hit every other day or no two-a-days, that type of stuff. So, I mean, I see the merit in both sides. I just think there's so much technology now that we can be more efficient without having to hit each other every day.
Bob, what about the gear itself? That's one thing I think a lot of folks, if they're not familiar with certain sports, how often the gear has to be replaced. Not somebody losing a volleyball or a basketball or a baseball. Okay, fine.
Right.
But the protective gear.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that comes with the rule changes and with the evolutions of the sport that, you know, that we have to make sure that we're staying in compliance and making sure that we are, you know, getting the latest equipment to protect the student athlete, as well as to prepare them, you know, to make sure that they're fitted right, to make sure that they're feeling that they feel comfortable in it too, because there's still that motion of, you know, you feel good, you look good, you play good. And so, you know, it's important for us to sort of maintain with those transitions, and that can be a challenge because there's a cost that comes with that.
Larger training staff?
We do, slightly larger, and the compliance within that, you know, is also something that we have to take into consideration at the college, because we do have a full-time trainer, Nate Keyes. He does a great job, and we do have an assistant trainer who she's not full-time, but she puts more than full-time hours in at that college, and they also have now started to adopt a program where they're working with some students just as interns, where they can start to learn and do a few things as well if they're interested in athletic training. We've developed the the ADT at the college for the couple 3 years now that we've had in kinesiology that can help students even that are potentially considering about athletic training or physical therapy or any other careers in kinesiology that are related to kines. So since we've done that last year alone, we had 482 active students that were kines majors. So it was it's a huge expanding field. We have to take advantage of it, and we got to make sure that the school's investing in it.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop CR Sports this morning. One quick national question, and then we'll get into when the games are. Bob, with all the concern that Maryland had their football kid issue, the Ohio State has had their issue that's kind of been front page. CR have things in place so that won't happen?
We do. You can only protect us as much as you can. We do all the student athletes go through Title IX training, though, and I think that is an important thing as far as, you know, we focus on just behavior, conduct, and even in our meetings we have, I know the coaches do a great job regularly speaking about decorum and how they're representing as a student athlete. On
good citizen stuff.
And the good citizen stuff, Frank mentioned and touched on that earlier. It's always been a high priority at our institution. I think our administration supports how we run the program and how we try to make sure that everybody's on the up and up and staying true to everything that is involved with our compliance. And we take it very seriously because, yes, those stories are very unfortunate when they take place and when they happen in a way where it's putting a black mark on college sports or college athletics, you know, that's not a good thing. So for all the good things that come out of college athletics and college sports, people have to understand they're going to focus on any negative attention. So we do everything we can to keep all that negative attention away.
Hey, keep some people employed, I guess.
That's right. That too.
So what's this season look like? When's it start? All that kind of good stuff.
Well, volleyball starts up next Saturday, actually, September 1st. We have our first matchup. We're heading down to Alameda, so on the road.
Hey, but the A's are in town.
Absolutely. You
this could be a double win.
Hey, it could be. Hope so.
When's the first home?
First home is October 5th, actually. We spend September hitting the road pretty solid, heading down to the Bay quite a bit, and two trips up to Oregon, actually.
Who do you play? SWAC?
We play SWAC, Lynn Benton, and Lane.
I don't. We won't even talk about travel budgets. Frank, how about for you?
September 1st against Monterey Peninsula College at the Redwood Bowl. Excited to get on the field. They're a well-coached team. Their head coach has been there for a million years, and he's a former Division I guy. So we know at the very least we're going to go up against an opponent that's well-coached. I actually jumped in the car a couple days ago and drove 7 hours to Monterey to watch them scrimmage for about an hour and a half to get back in the car and drive 6 hours back. So,
you got to work on your travel budget, dude. I mean, 13 hours of driving, you go to Monterey and you don't even, like, hang out for, you're outside the smoke level, the whole nine yards, and you turn around and...
We had dinner in Gilroy and kept coming.
He can blame that on me. That
garlic was involved, so that's good. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Absolutely.
See you, everybody, on Monday.